Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. New evidence that SARS-CoV-2 has been engineered in the lab. I had said before that I was convinced with the current cleavage site that something had been going on and that it was trained in the lab at the very least, if not genetically inserted there or something of that kind. And at this point, there's an additional independent line of evidence. And so with this additional evidence, I think it's becoming irrational to believe that SARS-CoV-2 was not created in a lab. Scientists have identified the signature of genetic modifications, and I'll show you this data tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Entropy is back, so if you'd like to send super chats with Entropy, the link is in the description below. However, my favorite options for super chats remains Odyssey. Odyssey super chats are the perfect way to contribute to the show. Use the dollar button under the chat. Someone sent a super chat during the night. Dem studded matrix font but by ye. That's his name. He says, first say wooa, like Billy Clint's nickname Booba, with W's. Then say, woo? Really pronounce the interrogation marks like you're fiberglassed. Now together, woo-wa, woo? What? So I think he was trying to have me say white in a different manner than what I'm usually saying it. I think it must have sounded better in your head than in my mouth. I'm sure that this is not the result you were looking for. Woo-wa? Woo-why? But it's the best I can do based on your instructions. Sorry. Today they were talking about Kanye West on CNN.
He is digging in, issuing a non-apology in a new interview after his anti-Semitic, anti-Black comments. Listen to this.
Anti-Semitic, anti-Black comments. It's going far here. For someone who has complained about the management in the music industry, someone who has indicated what he wanted to say clearly, and who has discussed it for hours in podcasts since then, to just say anti-Semitic and anti-Black comments is quite the summary.
My question for you is, do you now regret saying DEFCON 3 on Jewish people? Are you sorry you said that?
No.
I think it matters. You should be.
Absolutely not. You know, I will say I'm sorry for the people that I hurt with the DEFCON, the confusion that I call. I feel like I cause hurt and confusion. And I'm sorry for the families of the people that had nothing to do with the trauma that I had been through, and that I use my platform where you say hurt people, and I was hurt.
Joining me now is LZ Granderson. He's a columnist for the LA Times, the host of the ABC podcast, Life Out Loud.
Here, a Black guy to come and betray Kanye West. Let's see what he has to say.
He also writes about this very issue in his new column titled, Kanye West, Life and Art Are One. You don't have to keep watching. LZ.
You don't have to keep watching. So that's basically an appeal to cancel Kanye West. You would stop basically paying attention to Kanye West. You would stop listening to his music.
Your column is fantastic on this, exactly why I wanted to have you on to dig into it. But first, what is your reaction to this apology that is not an apology from Kanye West?
You know, it's more of the same. And it's really typical of people who don't want to be held accountable for their actions, right? Like, they may acknowledge some wrongdoing in very general terms, but they never actually acknowledge the wrongdoings and take personal responsibility for it. And then in that answer, I just heard more.
He said that he was sorry if he caused hurt and confusion, but that he was maintaining the sense of his statement. So he's taking responsibility there.
The same of that from Kanye.
Yeah. Let me read a part of your piece that really struck me. I tell everyone, they really, really should go read the whole thing. You write, year by year, track by track, sneaker by sneaker, tweet by tweet. He shows us why we should follow and why we should tune out. Like so many people, I kept finding ways to carve the artistry from the artist, even though I knew they were one and the same. Then one day I just stopped. I didn't cancel him. I didn't suggest anyone else cancel him. I just stopped. It just stopped working for me.
You are publishing a LA Times opinion piece that suggests it is time to stop listening to Kanye, that it is time to let go of Kanye, that you are not obligated to watch. That is cancel culture. I mean, at least live by what you're doing. At least be honest about what you're doing. You are calling for canceling him. So don't say, I didn't cancel him. I didn't suggest anyone else cancels him. That's what you are doing right now.
Talk to me about how you got to this place, LZ.
It was hard. You know, I'm a Gen X black guy from Detroit. So hip hop has always been present in my life growing up. It shaped my worldview in a lot of ways. And it continues to shape my worldview because these artists, these rappers, they aren't just entertainers and musicians. They're also storytellers and are griots. They're supposed to help document what happens in the world, as all artists are supposed to do. But in hip hop, it's particularly important to black people. And so I wanted to talk about this journey because to see Kanye go down this path also hurts me as a hip hop fan, because I used to love you. I used to love his music.
Can't you just disagree? Like, his rap didn't change. His rap is still the same rap. So can you disagree with a rapper that you listen to? Can't you have that greatness of mind of saying, you know what? I'll never fully agree with a rapper. There's never a single rapper that I will agree with about everything. That doesn't mean to cancel them. It doesn't mean to suddenly the rest of their art loses its value. You can disagree with the people you love. Like me, I disagree with Richard Dawkins.
Music. I could not wait for the next track like a lot of people. But there comes a point in which you need to understand that you're supporting everything else that goes with it. You know, if you watch a Woody Allen film, you may enjoy Woody Allen, but he's got some issues, right? Same thing with Michael Jackson. Same thing.
Woody Allen does have some issues.
R. Kelly, we all have the personal responsibility of asking ourselves, you know, is this working for me? What this person, what this artist is doing in addition to the artistry, is this working for me? And when it got to Kanye, I just arrived at no.
But you say specifically that you're not telling people to cancel him. You just don't listen to him. And just pose the question to yourself.
You are telling people by emulation to precisely cancel him. Come on, guys. It's a hit piece type of report. Assume it. We are canceling Kanye. You are there speaking with a black guy that is not Kanye, and you are trying to cancel him.
Is it working for you? Others, though, are saying he needs to be canceled. Mega agent Ari Emanuel wrote in the Financial Times that companies need to stop working with him because he has not gone the path of really showing that he is apologetic, writing this: those who continue to do business with West are giving his misguided hate an audience.
I mean, it's such a hit piece. I will stop there, but it's amazing because they keep going and they want to insist, look, I don't want you to think that I'm telling you to stop watching Kanye. But I'm telling you, you should think about, do you want to stop watching Kanye? Think about whether you're comfortable with this. It is so amazing how they cannot assume themselves. And it's such a one-sided, of course, when they talk about hate and it's hate speech and hit pieces, it's always like this. Anyways, yes, there is a meme. Someone was saying, they speak of Kanye's sanity, however, they never address his actual point. That is what has been killing me for years on the internet. It's like we're back to cable TV levels of denial. We don't have people engaging anymore. Back in the blood sports days, you had to engage with who was in front of you because they had the opportunity to talk. And if you were trying to slime away from this, they were bringing you back onto track on what they actually said. It is so sad that the internet has come down to this. And yes, what you just mentioned reminds me of a Gab meme that I have seen appear somewhere. And it's Kanye West calling Mel Gibson. And Mel Gibson with his big eyes of realizations. And He says, they always call you anti-Semitic, but they never call you a liar. In the sense that they will always insult you and dismiss anything you've said, but they will never get down to the point. Is it a healthy thing in our society, the way we treat artists? Black artists in this case, but artists in general. Self-ownership, is it an important thing to us? And shouldn't our world be structured in a way that allows self-ownership of artists? Wouldn't that lead to better art? Wouldn't that lead to art where you are standing by your product forever and you benefit from having a higher quality product? That is what Kanye is trying to bring, and it makes total sense. Trigonum Fungus says Kanye should buy up venues around the US and blacklist artists who have disrespected him. Cancel the cancelers. The world of physical venues owning, I would never get into this. Are you crazy? Like, you have to charm a certain population that has either the mean of paying a $70 ticket, or you're going to end up with youth who are going to crash your fences and fuck up your place. Then you have to invite an artist that attracts all these ticket buyers, and then you have to have the big speakers and have all this dirty realization of an actual physical event. You have to pay everyone from the janitor to the hot dog seller, and all of this for peanuts. I mean, at the end, once everyone has drained its little dollars, I don't know. I've never heard of people becoming rich out of a live event. Do you know a billionaire who has become a billionaire out of live events? I know billionaires who have fed themselves a stadium. And they have run it, and perhaps they haven't lost money, and perhaps they've even made some money. But it's not how you become rich. You don't become rich with this. You become rich like Kevin O'Leary, by licensing. You don't have any involvement, you just license out. I have an ID. Do you want to use it? License. You're going to pay me 1 cent per thing that you sell. You're going to pay me $1 per ticket that you sell. Licensing is how you get rich. Fit as a Raptor says, I wouldn't bother if I were Ye. The blacks can save themselves if they really want, like each of us did. Absolutely. I think that there is a great future for a lot of black people. And I think that Kanye is a general force of good for that future to actualize itself. Because I think he has it to art to not lie to his community. So I think he faces them in all honesty. And in a way, I think that Kanye wearing the White Lives Matter t-shirt is not a message to white people, nor is it even a message to leftists. I think that Kanye is showing the right way to black people. I think that's what he has to art. He wants to show them, look, you can't go on being only about yourself. You can't go on keep saying Black Lives Matter, and denying the obvious equal statement to the other people out there who are white. And so I think Kanye is trying to take his community by the hand, at least the most intelligent ones who can give him a fair hearing, and say, look, we're going to have to start at least offering an equal way to the people we complain about constantly and on whom we depend in so many ways. And that is a big step that he's trying to have them do there. It's a big step also for white liberals. I mean, they just can't digest this idea that white lives matter. But what do you want? All right, let's review this evidence. Absolutely fantastic evidence presented by Alex Washburn on Twitter yesterday. Endonuclear's fingerprint indicates the synthetic origin of SARS-CoV-2, a collaborative product by Brutal, Van Dongen, and myself. So let's have a look here. It's a preprint published on the internet before the full passing through a peer review. Duke University, where I used to live and work. Duke University Department of Pharmacology and Cancer Biology. I don't know this particular guy, Antonius Van Dongen. I've not known this person while I was on campus. Maybe he wasn't there, I don't know. Night King says, JF, please show how the NIH is blocking access to their gene data if you research something with race. I actually have this news item right here. Let me pull it after I talk about this evidence, because this evidence is stunning. It's evidence. So they look at a principle. When you do genetic assemblies of viruses, you like to have six segments, maybe, and you like to divide them equally like this. What it allows you to do is, because not everything will be perfect in the strands that you generate. And if you generate a whole strand every time, waiting for it to be perfect, sometimes there's going to be an error systematically. Now, what do you do in genetics when you want to create an exact genome of a virus, but you want to leave place for error? They do these assemblies where they put little sites equally spaced or roughly equally spaced, and they say, all right, we're going to put a molecule of detachment here, molecule of detachment here, molecule of detachment here. And they have the molecular tools so that when they want to cut here, they can just put it. Or when they want to cut there, they can put it. So they have these easy to cut segments of DNA. And in nature, these easily cuttable sequences exist, but they spread themselves quite randomly. And they are not organized in the whole genome in a human way, which is a human will care about spreading them at relatively equal distance, and especially in places where they intend to cut the strand. That way, this allows you to make some errors in generating 5-6 strands. But then you throw out the errors and you keep only the right ones, the one you want. And then you stick them back together. That way you're not running constantly at one error will fuck the whole thing up. You are allowed to make an error on number 6, but you'll regenerate number 6, but your number 1 is good. So you'll take a good one from number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, plug them together, you have your virus. Now this leaves a trace in the genome of of the organism. It is called the endonuclease sites, and those are sites of cleavage for the gene. They have type 2 shifted or type 2S sequences that are these easily identifiable throughout the genome. Now here they show the principle behind their method. So we're going to look at the endonuclease sites of viruses, and we're going to show you wild viruses. Their general endonuclear sites are distributed like this. So length of segments relatively random around this box, and when you have a lot of fragments. Sometimes you have a little less fragments and they are random like this. Less fragments, random like this. 12 fragments, random like this. Random like this, 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 and back to 2 segments, random like this. So the less segments you have, the longer the fragments are. That's a natural effect. And the boxes in gray are what you... The boxes in gray are what you get in natural viruses that haven't been touched by human, as far as we know. So it's a wild distribution, wide and random, and it's just... It's the shorter the segment, the higher it gets. But other than this, it's pretty spread out. Now, if you take viruses that we know have been genetically modified, they range very low in the distribution. They are the most extreme viruses at 7 and 8 segments. So typically, researchers will choose a number for a virus between 4 and 10 segments. So it often ends up in those boxes here, but they end up very different from natural viruses in that the endonuclease sites are extremely stable in the length of the longest fragment, and they are totally they are at the extremity of the natural distribution. Now that we know, and those were the natural forms of these viruses as encountered in nature. So we know that when a virus finds itself in a gray box, it's probably wild. When it finds itself outside the gray box, and very much outside the gray box, it is the genetically edited version of this wild virus. And it bears the human trace of having easily cuttable sites in it. So that is done with something we know. Now they've done it with something we don't know. Let's do this with SARS-CoV-2 and look at what they found. SARS-CoV-2 lays out outside of the natural box, outside of the general distribution at some extremity of it, and with the standard number of fragments expected by human researchers, 5 to 8. Now, SARS-CoV-2 is right here in red. Just to give you the idea that this method does not find one case out of, you know, you're like, if they had only done SARS-CoV-2, my first reaction would be, yeah, but who knows? Who knows if any engineered virus would respond like this? Well, they worked with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other engineered viruses. Look at this. Engineered viruses, they all stem around the gray boxes. They all are extreme in their own ways with respect to the natural distribution. So you can do statistics about this, and out of 5,000 chances, out of 5,000 cumulative ends, you can position your virus on the likelihood that it is engineered. And they've positioned it there. So there are some viruses where you would have a question. 1,000 out of 5,000 random could still lead to this. But when you reach SARS-CoV-2 right here, SARS-CoV-2 ends up within one person of the most extreme viruses in terms of the bizarreness of their endonuclease distribution. So 1% most extreme viruses, 1% most engineered looking viruses that these researchers have seen in their whole data set. At 1%, I'm extremely confident that SARS-CoV-2 has been engineered. This adds to the furin cleavage site evidence. This adds to the geographic distribution around the Wuhan Institute for Virology. 2 lines of evidence, completely independent. 3, because of the furin cleavage site. And 4, the documentation of human activities that were looking to do exactly that kind of viruses. We have 4 solid lines of evidence. Each of them would elevate serious doubt alone. Taken together, I think they leave 0 doubt. At this point, I am convinced that this is a biologically engineered viruses, which is why we have to tell the American universities who are like playing with gain of function crap and saying, no, it's not gain of function. Can you just stop all research on viruses? We know enough. Pitozoraptor says, technically, is a strain of virus with 80% mortality rate for humans possible to engineer? In principle, absolutely. I don't know what would stop it. You just farm this virus to be that way. You start with a virus that you know has a good basis, you know, and then you evolve it into lab culture. I don't want to give you any ideas. Don't do this at home. But you evolve it on lab cultures to be more and more cellular destructive. So you select, you take the one that's most hurtful to your cell cultures. Eventually, you bring it to the rat domain, and eventually you bring it to the rhesus macaques testing, and you farm them again and again. You know, you take the one that kills a monkey, and then you multiply from there. With such selection, I would expect that it would lead to death in human at a higher rate. Now you're going to face difficulties at the human level. Our immune system with its own characteristics will start fighting against the virus. But then you can farm the virus for further virulence. You could also equip the virus with something that you absolutely know will lead to human death. You could equip the virus with like a super gene that will produce massive amounts of a poison of some kind. Velociraptor sends another super chat. He says, I wouldn't bother if I were ye. The blacks can save them. Oh, this one I had read. Okay, thank you. Go away, says Jeff. Okay, but who engineered this virus and why? That's the real question. Well, I know the answer to this question. This virus was engineered by a researcher wanting to justify getting more grants for studying more dangers to humanity, for protecting humanity from these dangers. And ironically, as it always happens in sci-fi and horror movies, by trying to do something, the opposite happened. So that's what happened. Someone was talking earlier. Oh, Shrigmamel has sent a $25 super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, my father worked as a pharmaceutical salesman. He is very concerned. The vaccine studies have been conducted as he had to read the FDA studies on the drugs he would sell. Yes, it's the whole vaccine situation with COVID exposes the system as, oh my God, it's really not solid. The system is totally biased. There are technocratic agents in the American government. All they want is to eventually get employed in some collaborations with these companies. They don't have interest at being severe on their review. And anyways, they're just reviewing statements on paper. You know, they're not seeing what the companies have actually done. So the company just has to write on paper, literally, there were no deaths. 60,000 people, zero death. And that's all. There's no other check. There's no other check than trusting that those companies and their subsidiary contractors will just be honest about it. And there's not many people honest in science, especially if there's so much economic pressure. I mean, the economic pressure in and of itself doesn't even need fundamentally dishonest scientists. It will just push the result that it wants. And just out of the self-deception and human capacity to have blind spots, it gets to the right conclusion, which in this case, anyways, people had been put in such a state of hate against COVID and as if it was something totally novel, when in fact we've had these respiratory viruses forever in society, although, okay, it was biologically engineered, but... there's no reason why this biological engineering, at least maybe the furin cleavage site, is a reason to worry because it's a human feature that is kind of gain of function. But other than this, it's not like we've not fought before viruses with furin cleavage sites. So all of it was inspired by nature. So our bodies were capable of handling it, but the stressful situation that everyone was put on and the predictions of Thunderfoot and others, there's going to be billions of people dying. It didn't happen, and it's not because of the vaccine. But that situation of stress has led to people excusing bad evidence. Saying, oh yeah, for the first time in history, we're going to introduce a new technology into billions of arms with 3 months of testing. Are you kidding me? And these 3 months of testing actually were already revealing the dangers for the heart, which should have been taken extremely seriously for young people. Because young people weren't dying of COVID as much as old people. So The question should have been evaluated separately for them. Is it really in their benefit to expose their heart to so much danger? Guy from V says, people still saying they trust the other vaccines, though. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing has exposed the system for all vaccines for me. I'm done with vaccines. I've taken so many vaccines just because I was an immigrant in the US and you have no choice. But at this point, I would do a different path with my life. If I was back then, probably I would just say, all right, well, I'm going to give up the university work. Anyways, it sucks. I'm going to ruin my career right away and avoid the vaccine. Go away, says Jeff. Assuming the virus was engineered by or with knowledge of the US, when do you think President Trump was briefed on this fact? And what other high-level government people were briefed and at what point? I don't think there was much knowledge. I think if someone had to brief the president on this, it would be Anthony Fauci. But Anthony Fauci had his little soldiers out there doing exactly what he had requested, which is we need to undermine the lab leak hypothesis. So no one would have come to say it to him because they were all there publishing in Lancet in prestigious journals saying it's a quack conspiracy to think that it's a lab leak. And we recognize no genetic features of any kind that we have done. Like, think a little bit, because a bunch of people on Twitter and 4chan apparently were able to find those genetic features, and now we have serious scientists with a serious paper at my own university at which I used to do research. So there was such a willful blindness to this that I'm sure Trump wasn't briefed, because I'm sure Anthony Fauci had equipped his underlings strong enough with the mentality of you have to undermine the lab leak hypothesis, that there was no way a single scientist would come to him. I mean, we see in the emails, there were a handful of scientists who came to him, but it was all skipped over. And eventually we were back to, well, the lab leak hypothesis is a quack scam, and we're gonna drive down on it in the Lancet. Shrig Mamel sends another $25. Thank you so much for the support. He says, the antibiotics my father used to sell had to have years of study in the FDA before they would go to market. Exactly. That has always been the standard. And suddenly, oh, the pandemic is so grave. There's going to be so many millions of people dying. We have to skip the regulatory process, and we have to give full immunity to these companies. Why do people become insane like this when it's about vaccines? At the very least, you should recognize that a vaccine is a solution of some kind, just like a pill or a little vial of liquid. It's something you're going to put in your body. And whatever you're going to put in your body, put it in the body of a billion people at the same time, there's going to be people hurt. You want to know exactly how much people are going to be hurt before you put it in 1 billion people. That is important. Question Everything says, 2016, Daszak reiterated that until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, at an emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, he said, we need to increase public understanding of the need for MCMs, such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics follow the hype. Yeah, that's what was pulled on us. It was a plan. Like, I know it's attacked as conspiracy, but you can see moments in the past where Bill Gates was commenting on pandemics and other big researchers of the US who have been strongly involved in Daszak and all these guys. And they were like basically saying, we're going to need to remarket respiratory viruses, and we're going to need to to scare people more, or else we're going to stay at the same rate as the acceptance of flu vaccines, which were around 40% or something like that. We're never going to get above 40 before we remarket the flu. And I don't remember which one of these guys literally said, like, man, it sucks that the flu is called the flu. We would need to call it something else 1 year and people would go crazy. I mean, I've seen this on video, but I don't remember who was this guy. Was it a Pfizer guy? Or he literally thought out loud what was enacted in 2020 with COVID. The whole, we're going to remarket a virus and we're going to scare people. Someone was mentioning, JF, you should mention this. And yes, I had it prepared. Don't even go there. A policy of deliberate ignorance has corrupted top scientific institutions in the West. It's been an open secret for years that prestigious journals will often reject submissions that offend prevailing political orthodoxies. Now, there is a new advancement in the war against science. The National Institutes of Health now blocks access to an important database if it thinks a scientist's research may enter forbidden territory. So these scientists were, they were like, hey, you know, this database used to be public and all sorts of researchers have access to it. So we'd like to have access to the database. And they get the answer, NIH denies access to some of the attributes that I have just mentioned on the ground that studying their genetic basis is stigmatizing. So basically the NIH will be like, okay, what do you want from the database? Okay, you want all of the genes of all the people. What else? IQ? Oh no, we don't do IQ anymore. We can't give you the IQ data because that may be stigmatizing. Oh, height? No, that might be stigmatizing. Oh, fat or obesity? The fat acceptance movement wouldn't like it, so we won't give it to you. So basically, we have created protected groups that protect scientists from the truth. Rodi Lucid so says the bell curve could not be written today anymore. No, of course. And since the bell curve, it's just amazing how little advancement we have, because there's very few scientists who want to do it. And so the bell curve is still up to standard. The only missing aspect of the bell curve is the novel GWAS data, but other than this, the bell curve, you know, there's not been massive cross-adoption, transracial adoption studies since then, twin studies that would be stronger than what was available then. So basically, it's a field of research that has so much obstacles in its feet, it can't advance. Total Grimm sends 25 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, governments are now ordering livestock to be injected with mRNA vaccines. Can the spike proteins be transmitted via consumptions? Would they survive the cooking/digestion process? My guess is that it wouldn't. But we should definitely test this because I'm not sure. I mean, you never know. These little lipid particles, who knows? My guess is it's going to be dissolved in the acid of the stomach at the very least, if it's there at all. But don't take my guess and don't trust my guess. We should have studies about this to address this problem. Now, you were talking about injecting animals. I mean, at this point, I've become so habituated to see the word died unexpectedly that this morning they had me read a whole Fox News article about a panda, because the panda is dead. It's a rare red panda, Rusty the red panda, who rose to fame in 2013 because he escaped the zoo. He died unexpectedly. And At this point, I don't know if it's an AI that's writing the Fox News articles, but certainly the AI has detected that dies unexpectedly is like the most popular thing right now. Everyone will click. And they got me because I clicked on it on my phone. Now, did this red panda get the vaccine? That is the question. I read the whole article. There's no mention of the vaccine. We want to know if the panda died unexpectedly. Is it in relation to a booster that you guys have tried on him? More clips are coming out of the Kanye West interview with Piers Morgan. This one is absolutely right on point. Listen to this.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody that gets judged more than a straight white male. The straight white male has the least amount of a platform to even speak. A straight white male can't say, my wife hurt me today. Because people will say, well, you're hurting women. A straight white male can't say, hey, a black employee didn't come in to work on time. Because then people will say, you're racist. A straight white male can't speak on a homosexual person because they'll say you're homophobic.
Absolutely. Kanye is right on point about this. The straight white male has much less space of language possible than anyone else, because at least the black man can talk about the black community. At least the homosexual can talk about his qualms with the homosexual community. But we can't talk about anything. And we will be accused and judged and, oh, that's because you're privileged. The white man is the most oppressed person. The straight white man is the most oppressed person in the current world. You have no idea. And if you want to try, try it. If you're a woman, if you're someone else than a straight white man, just convert to being a straight white male for a day. You'll see how being disposable, ignorable, and just totally disdained by the whole of society it is to be a white male. Pitozoraptor sends a super chat. He says, the doctor prescribed antibiotics to my pregnant girlfriend. I had a hard time believing it's really necessary, as I lost my faith in the medical system. I lost faith in doctors, and I no longer believe what they say. That is how I feel also, and there's a reckoning coming for the experts, for the doctors. People will start just distrusting everything about them because they've been way too rough with the COVID stuff. Now, the antibiotics, it may be related to, is it related to the B bacteria type, whatever, that they can have in their intestine, and they're afraid that a little bit of poo coming out during the pregnancy could contact the baby and he would have an eye infection. It's really out there as a concern, and, you know, nature has its own ways to deal with these things. And let me tell you, just nature is super well equipped for babies to just pop out. There's so much goo going everywhere. It's like, and even if they had an eye infection, babies are equipped to combat it. So it's all standards of medical care to say we've done everything. But the reality is nature is, it's for UTI. Okay, urinary tract infection. Okay, well, yeah, you know, either you fight it alone or you get your antibiotics to help. Now, there's various philosophies around antibiotics. Sure, it would help if her urinary tract infection is bacterial. Maybe it would help. But other philosophies are that by using antibiotics, you're ruining her whole natural flora in her intestine, because there's lots of bacteria that just die in her intestine when she takes this. So that will put her in some other trouble. And some people have the philosophy of just letting nature handle the tract infection. And we are definitely equipped to handle it. Night King says, RIP Harambe. Harambe, if I remember correctly, was a gorilla or whatever that was killed, that had to be shut down for the killing of Harambe. Harambe was a Western lowland gorilla who lived at the Cincinnati Zoo from 2014 to 2016 and previously at the Gladys Porter Zoo for 15 years. A three-year-old boy climbed into a gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo where he was grabbed and dragged by Harambe. Yeah, I mean, you have to kill the gorilla at this point. It's just... I mean, he may be very kind to the baby, but he may also crack his neck with his little finger. You just have to kill the gorilla. Nathan I sends a super chat. He says, Andy Warski is back on the Coco. According to PPP, your prediction is back on track. There are only 2 years left. What are the implications of this on your TRP predictions? Who engineered Andy's addiction? So Andy Warski, according to your super chat, would be back on cocaine. This puts him back on track to be addicted to eventually heroin and puts him back on track for the prediction that I have done now 5 years ago, where I said that Andy Warski would contract HIV within 7 years. We have 2 years left. We're on schedule, boys. We're just relaxing tonight. Nothing to do. Just let nature do its course. My prediction is looking good. I mean, I'm sure I could sell it right now and get a better price than 5 years ago. Because, yeah, we're getting closer. We're getting closer to the moment where it gets interesting. Of course, all of this was a joke, but... Yeah, that is one of my predictions. Kremlin Blast, we predict the news here on JFG tonight because a lot of the people out there on the internet, they will just report the news. We tell the news before it happens. And we want you to be eye-opened as the future unfolds in front of us. Kremlin Blast, arrest of two Russian nationals accused of stealing sensitive U.S. military tech. So I think that's the well-connected son of a Russian governor. I think it's the American regime getting back at Russia for arresting our basketball players and stuff. And it's tit for tat and all, but I don't know. Is it real that these guys have done something evil? They say he would have brought CPUs from foreign entities, brought them to Russia for analysis, and then they claim these CPU studies helped them formulate the missiles that eventually were used against Ukraine. I think it's a little far-reaching. Like, how do you know that this guy... First, are there any novel technologies that have been used by Russia and Ukraine? Are there like super advanced CPU missiles? It doesn't look like it to me. It looks like very basic stuff has been used up to now. And how do you know that these guys have done this? I think they don't. They just make up this story to justify their arrest and eventually they want to negotiate. John Drake says, I remember the media was upset that the gorilla was killed when they thought the kid was white and quickly changed their tune when it was revealed the child was black. Okay, I didn't know about this racial aspect of the thing. I've never heard about this story of Harambe before it became a meme and people used this word again and again on the internet. Rodita Sid says, Jeff, do you have any behind-the-scenes stories of Warski's old girlfriend, Sanid? She seemed like she was a little crazy when she came on stream sometimes. I don't have anything behind the scene to say about her. What always struck me is that she was a normie, and she was rude to Andy, and he was rude to her, because they didn't have mutual respect. But can you really blame her? I mean, you know, she was, I would say she was abusive, but she was abusive because she didn't respect Andy in the end. That's what's happening. She was with him and she wanted this to last because she was just in the relationship. But you know how a woman can disrespect you deeply inside and it shows eventually in how she's going to act with you. So I don't think it was a good match because for a good match, you need a woman who is in adoration of her man. She was a normie who was rightfully perceiving Andy as an unstable drug consumer who wasn't a particularly, you know, interesting future to share with her. So her evaluation of Andy was rational. Her abusive behavior in response to it was unwelcomed and irrational, but it was a mutually abusive, not abusive to the point of hitting each other, just, you know, not being truly in love and just throwing insults at the other and being relatively disrespectful. Like the way Andy would do things like speak in a mic, and you know how Andy laughs in a mic? And the way he would still do this when she's there. To me, it seems like when the lady that you love is in the room, you have to kind of change your entire personality. You just to show respect. It's like, okay, the woman of my life is there. Like when Mama JF comes, okay, let's listen to what Mama JF has to say and I will exchange with her. Whereas Andy would be like the exact same asshole that he would be with three or four guys. He was in front of this Sunid. Now, Sunid was not a particularly beautiful woman. Let's be honest. You know, Andy Warski was thinner than her. She had massive hips. So there was grounds on the both of them to be disappointed by the other, and that is not a good ground to start a relationship. Blacksmith Waffen says drug-fueled relationships are always chaotic. Yes, they are. Drug is to be avoided if possible. GOP governors promise not to mandate COVID-19 vaccine for children, but I'm reassured we had the promise of Ron DeSantis, Bill Lee from Tennessee. I've seen South Dakota also and a lot of other people. So at least this mandate will not make it into the right-wing state. Rodi Lacid says, damn, that's brutal. That's the only way Papa JF delivers the news. I got fired for being that brutal. I don't care. Got fired from Warski Live. I said to Andy, this is the way I performed publicly. Therefore, I'm leaving. Trigmamel sends $25. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, what is your opinion on doctors being required for prescriptions for antibiotics, antivirals, painkillers, etc.? I wish the patient had more liberty to choose what they would like to put in their body. I think there is abuse of these consumable medications. Most of the time, an antibiotic is not warranted. Most of the time, the function of an antibiotic is prevention. You know, a doctor sees your different risk. He sees that you're half diabetic. So he thinks, oh, he's got a lot of sugar in his blood. If there's a lot of sugar in his blood, there's a slightly higher chance that there's some bacterial infection, and he gives you some antibiotic. That is the rationale, and the fact is, if you're healthy, if your immune system is healthy, you won't have bacteria just floating in your blood and reproducing. And the antibiotic is not necessary for most situations. So yes, there is definitely abuse of all this. Now, so what they currently teach to doctors is we must stop this abuse. So you must reduce your prescriptions of these things because of the ecological effect that you have. Because the more you use an antibiotic, the more the natural niches of these bacteria evolve, and the more they acquire resistance to antibiotics. So that's the kind of communistic justification. I'm more of a libertarian. I think that people should be able to demand and buy antibiotics at will. I just think to put a doctor in the middle of all this, of accessing potentially needed medication, it creates a lot of obstacles and a lot of skewed markets. So basically, let's say in Canada, I mean, you're going to go see the doctor. The doctor is going to be paid $100 by the state to see you for 5 minutes. Okay. And why do you keep going to see the doctor? Well, because you need your meds. And the state is always giving that doctor $100. $100 every time you go see him. So he's incentivized at giving you maybe 3 months of medication and then come back and see me. So he's making $400 a year with you. It's all very inefficient. And then they complain that, oh my God, the queues are long. It's super long to see a doctor. And you can't even take an appointment anymore because it's in 3 months from now. So you have to walk in. And it's all very messy. And if people could only self-medicate, I think it would solve this. Now, some people would die. They would just, they would take too much medication and they would die. I'm a Darwinian guy. I care less about this than I care about the efficiency of the queue at the fucking clinic. Go away, says JF. Imagine how rich. And by the way, Philosoraptor is absolutely right. JF, it's important to state that you're not giving medical advice. You never know these days. Yes, I'm not giving medical advice. Everything that I've discussed is philosophical and sociological considerations around the medical field. And how do we organize society to have a better medicine? You should never listen to what I say and self-medicate. I'm making a philosophical point that perhaps we could have a society in which it's allowed, but it's definitely not allowed in our society, and you shouldn't. You should pass through the official channels of doctors and pharmacists. John Drake says, doctors in Canada have positions in pharmacies. Isn't this a conflict? Oh, yeah, this is an eternal subject. I mean, there was a classic French theater book. It was a play, a theater play about this, the conflict between doctor and pharmacist. And so the doctor always has to be independent of the pharmacist by law. You cannot be both the doctor and the pharmacist. But the conflict of interest does show up in certain forms, in the sense that they are often in the same building. Very often when the doctor will give a prescription, you're going to get it right at this pharmacy where the doctor is located. They will pay rent to the same owner. And therefore, if the pharmacy is going well, the doctor is going well too. Perhaps he even pays less. And like, if the pharmacy was to go out of business, the doctor would have to pay more in rent to survive in that building. So there is this potential conflict of interest. Now, it's because it's indirect, it's not so bad, but you never know. Perhaps there are some doctors who are self-consciously, you know, making it so that it's the best for the pharmacy. Maybe they know the prices of drugs and they make their choices according to this. if you trust your doctor and if he has the his justifications and they seem honest with his choices of medication, I wouldn't worry too much about this. But it is something to think about how we could improve this system to be fully insulated from potential kickback schemes, as John Drake puts it. Biden admin, yeah, because these doctors, they get these sexy women who have a BSc in pharmacism, and they come and see them with pamphlets and big boobs, and they're like, haven't you heard about Avapro? It's the new generation of blood pressure control. It's so much better than lisinopril. This is 70s level of stuff. Now, if you will, you can suggest Avapro to your customers, and the state will pay all of it. So your customer gets a next generation medicine at absolutely no cost to you. Why wouldn't you want this? Huh? And the doctor is like, holy shit, Avapro. I'm going to give Avapro to everyone. This girl has wonderful boobs. Biden admin waits blocking Twitter deal on national security grounds, just as Musk wanted. My God, there is constant reversal in this buying of Twitter. We never know if it's going to happen. And now the federal government, it is said that they are looking into the security aspect of it. Of course, what's the national security aspect of keeping Elon from having Twitter? The national security aspect is that people like Papa JF will be unbanned from Twitter, and we're going to be critical of the CIA, the FBI, and the warmongers. So suddenly you won't have just pro-Ukraine people on Twitter. You're going to have two or three people who say, hey, maybe we shouldn't create these wars that create enormous amounts of human suffering. That is the national security interest of the federal government, and that is why, if they do, that's exactly what they want to keep from happening. To have voices that are opposed to the regime have a blue check mark under Papa Elon. L says, it's almost like it was never about the kids. Sandy Hook families seek $2.75 trillion from Alex Jones. Trillion dollars. I don't know. Is this true or is this an error? I mean, at this point, why not the economy of the U.S.? Like, I'm going to take Tennessee, Texas, California, and maybe Oklahoma and South Dakota. Give me ownership of all these states. Firestarter says that has to be fake. I don't know if it's fake, but it's pretty much the feeling right now. It's pretty much the feeling. Like, how much money do you want from Alex Jones? I want my $1 billion from Alex Jones too. Bannon responds after being ended 4 months sentence for defying January 6th subpoena. So he will have a 4 month sentence, but he hasn't been brought to jail immediately. He has been liberated for now. I don't know if it's because he may want to make an appeal or something like this.
My direction.
Yeah. Hang on. I want to. By the way, I want to say one thing. I respect the judge. The sentence he came down with today is his decision. I fully respect. I've been totally respectful of this entire process on the legal side. I also want to make one other statement before I talk about a broader topic. More than any person in the Trump administration, I testified before the Mueller Commission for more hours. I testified in front of Chair Schiff and the House Intelligence Committee more than any other person in the Trump administration. I testified in front of the Senate Intelligence, I think, more than any. All about the issues related to...
Okay, but he didn't show up at this particular committee. And now that the Democrats have had a taste of a finding of guilt and jail time, they are going after Trump. January 6th committee subpoenas Trump hours after Bannon sentencing. So they're like, oh, we got something here. We're going to force Trump now to come. And if he doesn't come, we can do to him what we've done to Steve Bannon. Pfizer plans to hike the price of U.S. COVID-19 vaccine by 400%. Of course, when you know that you're going to be named by the CDC to be on the children vaccine schedule, and the Democrat states are going to follow suit and force it onto them, now you can increase the price arbitrarily. Go away, says Jeff. You need a larger nominal proportion of payout from Alex Jones to secure a larger proportion when they carve up his corpse. The next lawsuit will be for over $1 quadrillion so that those families have a large claim to the couple million they actually extract from him in the end. Okay, so I should aim for $10 quadrillion if I want to get like 10 bucks at the end. Very nice. Nice counsel. Night King says, sad news, Google is deleting the Kanye interview video file from your cloud storage. If you keep it there, they are actively scanning for this file. Not surprised, not surprised. That's why when I analyze the discourse of Kanye, you don't respond to Piers Morgan, oh yes, it was racist, and that's why I said it. Because then you are in open advocacy for racism, and then, holy shit, the consequences, it's like everywhere. Everywhere there's AI looking for you. Kanye identified. Like, these AIs are trained like dogs on cocaine. They're like, find racism. When you find it, it's very, very good. And so these AIs are like, where can I seek a Kanye clip? ABC News producer missing since FBI raid. He was writing a book about botched Afghanistan withdrawal. So this guy was writing a book about the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. There's a FBI raid of his house. He disappears, gets away from it. I mean, he probably felt that it was coming or something. He didn't show up since then. He disappeared from the map. He may be afraid that he had some papers that were coming from confidential government sources, like WikiLeaks style, and that he may be subject to criminal prosecution for having had those documents. And it's all, again, the WikiLeaks stuff, a similar story. It's like, can we know about what our army is doing wrong? Can we know it if America is killing Iraqis and shooting media people from helicopters? And can we know whether the army knows if something wrong was done in the Afghanistan exit, if there was a lack of care, if there was a lack of safety? And they tell you, well, you can't know because it's national secrecy and national security interest. So you're telling me that you're going to take our money, do whatever you want with it, and you won't ever be able to be held accountable. Isn't that a practical way to see reality, that your errors cannot be exposed? That's why we should demand absolute transparency from everything the government does. If you don't want transparency, don't do it with the government. Giorgia Meloni tells ex-president Berlusconi, keep your mouth shut, after audio leaks bashing NATO. So I had expressed doubt. People were like, JF, the far right has won in Italy. What do you think about it? And I was like, we'll see if she does anything. I don't know her much. But here we are starting to see the cracks in the perfection of this woman. She is not perfect, as it turns out. She is very much pro-NATO. And Silvio Berlusconi just had an audio leak about him being critical toward NATO, which, I mean, what's your position? NATO is perfect. You don't want to be critical against NATO. There's much to be critical about. And she says to him, you're not going to make us the friend of Russia. You're not going to make us anti-NATO force within Europe. shut up, Silvio Berlusconi. So basically, she is just a servant of the system of the globalist world order. And that's it. She's just going to serve their interests. She's already bringing back people in the right in Italy to shut up and don't be a pro-Russian shill. That means she will totally align with American interests. In case you had any hope that there was a revolution in Italy, it's not happening. Last news item, taxpayer bait and switch, Biden loan forgiveness will benefit high rollers too. Well, not surprising, of course. He had announced no high-income individual or high-income household in the top 5% of incomes will benefit from this action. However, in what the Washington Free Beacon describes as a bait and switch of American taxpayers, the election year handouts are now being offered to people with incomes far above the initially advertised limit. Of course, not surprising, the government anyways doesn't know how to adjust to household wealth. They have outdated data very often. Data is not super indicative because there are people who roll in gold and money and they don't report much income. It's hidden or it's expenses. So the government never knows who's truly poor and who's not. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Thank you so much for being with me. And what do we have on the schedule? I have a Crucible debate on the 30th. That's in about 1 week and 2 days from now. That will be about CRISPR transhumanism with a guy who says that CRISPR is the elixir of life. And then on Wednesday, that's in 5 days from now, I'm going to see Mark Collett. At his UK show. I can't wait to speak about with my friend Mark Collett again. I don't know what we'll talk about. We'll see what the news are then. Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, in 2009, my brother had to drop out of high school freshman year after a sudden onset of narcolepsy and chronic fatigue. His condition came out of nowhere and was a mystery to probably a dozen doctors and psychiatrists. I was curious the other day and began searching 2009 viral events. And I guess he's going to complete his message in another chat. But very interesting. I mean, narcolepsy, chronic fatigue, these things, doctors are not very good at handling it. There's a couple of diseases, they are very intangible, and doctors just get annoyed at them, and they're like, I don't know, bro. Are you faking it? And at some point, they're like, I don't believe you. Or they have difficulty buying into it. And he says, in 2009, my brother must have been vaccinated against H1N1, and of course, modern data lays blame at the H1N1 vax. Very interesting. Do they say that people are suffering specifically from narcolepsy as a result of it? So much hurt goes under the radar done by vaccine. It is just, at this point, I'm not even anti-vax and not taking the vax because I'm afraid of what we know about them. I'm afraid of what's out there and that we don't want to know. I'm afraid of how many of these random people going to the hospital this morning, how many of them is because some vaccine they took a year ago, 10 years ago, maybe? At this point, I'm satisfied with the fact that we don't know is enough for me. I'm getting out of it. I'm an unvaxxed gun my own way. Shrigmamel sends 5 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, I don't trust doctors to prescribe me anything, as I know doctors would sell some of the drugs with questionable efficacy just because they were friends with my father. Oh yeah, the field of pharmaceutical representative is one of the most disgusting field ever. I mean, I left academia in disgust, but that's my disgust for academia is like here. My disgust for pharmaceutical representative is up there. Deadstar says, yes, huge amounts of data suggest the H1N1 vax gave incurable narcolepsy to many thousand children. This is so frustrating because we act like this doesn't exist. So frustrating. Thank you.